good to see everyone out here. It is an encouraging to be able to be here, to be with you. I have to say that I think today is the best that I've heard the singing from everybody else. And it is encouraging. Last week we had a little bit of rain and I was further back behind and definitely wasn't hearing much because the distance and everything. And of course I got the microphone right here. And so I'm hearing it as soon as it comes out. But, when you do hear others singing out, it really uplifts you and encourages you. So really look forward to getting back in that building and we're all singing together and having our voices echo off the walls, and it's just encouraging to be able to do that. During all this, we can get discouraged. During all this, we can look at all the bad things going on. But what I want to talk about today is that we need to be rejoicing. I want to talk about when we obey the gospel. I'm going to try to move this a little closer so I don't have to keep on leaning away. When we obey the gospel, we need to understand that there's a reason to rejoice. That if you are a Christian, that there is a reason to rejoice. That we should be happy as Christians, as we just sung a song about mansion over the hilltop, going to John chapter 14 and verses 1, 2, and 3, and verse 4 there, and looking and seeing that Jesus said he goes to prepare a room in heaven for you. Or as some translations read, he goes to prepare a mansion. A home in heaven, something that we should be happy about. Hope to have a home in heaven should be something we rejoice in, knowing that God waits for that day that he has set aside and that we are going towards that day. Each and every day that passes by, that we have the blessing to live upon this earth, there's a reason to rejoice. And when someone obeys the gospel, it is certainly a time to be joyful. And as we take the time to think back when maybe you obeyed the gospel, that should bring joy to your heart, knowing that you were added to the Lord's kingdom, that your sins have been washed away, that you were added to God's family. And that you gain the Father up in heaven to be able to lean on and to go to and to trust. And so we should be rejoicing as Christians. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. My first point I want to bring out, one of the reasons we rejoice is because God rejoices when someone obeys the gospel. Because when we're in sin, we are lost. Before we obey the gospel, we are lost. And so when we come back to the Father, he rejoices. It makes him happy. It makes him glad. And if you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, we got a few parables there to look at to give us the example of something that is lost and found and the rejoicing that comes with it. So Luke chapter 15, and we'll start there and in verse 1. Luke 15, starting and in verse 1. It says, then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near him and to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes received sinners and eats. This man received sinners and eats with them. He spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Here it gives us the example of the lost sheep. It gives us the instruction here that when there is 99, there's 100, there's 1,000 people who have obeyed the gospel. And yet if one goes astray, that our God is looking down on that one, wanting him to return. And when one returns, it says that there is more joy when someone comes to God than all that don't need to repent. I understand he rejoiced the same time when you obeyed the gospel. He rejoiced just as much when I obeyed the gospel. But now the focus should be is looking to help others to come to the gospel. That we share that joy. We share that happiness. The song of encouragement that we'll be singing here in a minute is I'm happy today. All the luck that came out that he chose that song. I didn't say anything to him. But it's going to go right along with our lesson this morning. That we should be rejoicing. Pick up in verse 8. In verse 8, we get to the parable of the lost coin. In verse 8, it says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Once again, God will rejoice. In the presence of angels, angels will be rejoicing. When we obey the gospel, it's a reason to be happy. It's a reason to be joyful. It's a reason to put a smile on your face. We need to be rejoicing. You continue throughout Luke chapter 15. You get to verse 11. Throughout the remaining of the chapter, we have what we usually call the prodigal son. We look to the lost son, the son here who goes astray, who leaves. We'll go ahead and read some of this starting in verse 11. It says, then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with pods that swine ate, and no one gave him anything. You look here. This is speaking to any of us when we fall short of the glory of God, to any who have yet to obey the gospel. That God has blessed you with this life that you live upon this earth. That God has granted you today, another day to get out of your bed, another day to see the sun, another day to look at the beautiful things that he's given you. You've inherited these things, but you haven't given yourself to God. You've taken granted of what he's blessed you with. And yet, there comes a time that you hopefully will realize that if you do not give yourself over to God, that you'll be like the prodigal son here. That you'll see that it is the worst of times when you're in sin because you are setting yourself up for the wrath of God if you do not repent. And if you were to read further, we know that he comes to his senses. And he comes to that point to understand that even the servants of his father have a better life than he does. And so he returns to his father. If you read with me, in verse 20 or verse 18, pick up in verse 18. It says, I will rise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe. Put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found and they began to be merry. Have you ever seen somebody that you haven't seen in a long time and been greeted like this? Now, I know there's some out there that probably saying, when I get home and my dog sees me, it's wagging its tail and as happy as can be. God is rejoicing when we give ourselves over to Him. God is happier than a dog when its owner gets home. God is looking out and sees when we are lost. And He just waits to receive you with open arms. If you would just come to Him, go to Him in prayer, ask for forgiveness. If you need to be baptized, to obey the gospel, to come forward and to wash your sins away. And He will come to you and He will draw near to you as you draw near to Him. And He will aid you the rest of your life. And you will have a home in heaven. Guys, there's a reason to rejoice if you are a Christian. There's a reason to rejoice when someone else obeys the gospel. As we read these examples here in Luke 13, when they found what was lost, they didn't keep that joy to themselves. No, when the man, the shepherd, lost his sheep and he found it, he called everybody up and said, I have found what I have lost. Come and rejoice with me. When the woman lost the coin and she swept the house and found it, she called her friends up and says, come and rejoice with me. And when the father had found his son and he runs out and gathers him, he calls his servants and says, we're having a feast tonight. Guys, we're supposed to rejoice with others when they have a reason to rejoice. We're to be happy with one another when someone else obeys the gospel. It should, once again, put a smile on your face. We should all be rejoicing with one another. If you open your Bibles in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, Romans chapter 12 and in verse 15, Romans 12 and verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We should be rejoicing with one another. We've gathered here together because we have obeyed the gospel because we are Christians. Or if you have yet to obey the gospel, you're here because you are studying the Word of God. Because you've heard the truth and you want to learn more. And you may be considering obeying the gospel. We should all be rejoicing with one another, though. Knowing that the truth is being taught. Knowing that we should be encouraging and uplifting one another. And it should, once again, bring joy to our hearts. Again, we have another verse that is similar to this. You turn along with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26 here brings out and talks about how we are each individual parts, members, but of one body. One body, one church, one kingdom. And therefore, if one single member rejoices, then we all should. 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 26, it says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I know we can look around the world and I know we can sit here and say, man, I'm getting tired again. I'm ready to get in this building. I'm ready to hear everybody singing out. I'm ready to shake some hands. But we still should have a smile on our face. We still should have hope to have a home in heaven. We should still be happy to be able to be called a child of God, a follower of Christ, to have His word in our hands, to know what we need to do in order to get to heaven. There are still reasons to be joyful, especially if you obey the gospel or you consider obeying the gospel. You're looking for a reason to be happy. Then obey. Come forward and be baptized. You don't have to wait till an invitation song. You don't have to wait till most people are gone so you can social distance. You're ready to obey the gospel. We'll get it taken care of. We'll aid you in making sure that gets done. But we should rejoice as Christians. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, looking at the example of the eunuch. Acts 8. And in verse 39, as Philip had come to the eunuch, taught him Isaiah, taught him the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as they came up on a body of water, he says, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip says, if you believe, nothing. And he makes that confession, I believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you read in verse 39, It says, now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He had obeyed the gospel. He had understood who the prophets were speaking about. And he saw that his sins could be washed away, and he acted upon it. And it caused joy to be in his heart. It caused him to rejoice as he continued on his way. Now, we're not told on how much further distance he had to go, but a lot of people have done the study and looked at the map and seen the long distance traveling in the wilderness. He could have came up out of the water and said, man, now we still got a long ways to go. But instead here we see that he rejoiced. There is a reason to be happy. In Acts chapter 16, as Philip and Silas had been in prison, and of course the jailer is about to take his life, and Paul and Silas stop him, and they teach him the truth, and he brings him home to his household. And we read here in Acts 16 and verse 34, and it says, and when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Again, there is a reason for us to be happy as Christians, as someone who has had their sins forgiven, as someone who has a reason to live. Why? Because we have a home. We have treasure in heaven. There's a reason for us to rejoice, and we should always be rejoicing. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 4. As it reads here, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. You ask Casey why I'm putting this lesson together. I've been singing that song over and over again in my head and out loud. So we're to rejoice always. It's not just when you are baptized and you come up out of the water, but from that point on that you live your life following God and you live faithfully to Him, there's a reason to rejoice, to be happy. I know there's hard times, and I know some have lost loved ones, and we get caught up in the sorrow, and once again, there's a time to weep. There's a time to sorrow. But as we turn back to God and we let Him comfort us, we'll come back to that point that there's a reason to rejoice. There's a reason to smile. There's a reason to continue to have hope, that we should rejoice always, as we're told to do in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. In verse 17, rejoice always. That's all there is to that verse. Two words, rejoice always. Continuously being happy as faithful followers of Christ. And so that is my lesson this morning. A lesson to help us to be encouraged, to continue to fight the good fight, continue to be happy as we live faithful lives to God, and continue to have a treasure in heaven. That way you have a reason to be joyful. That way you will always remember that God is there for you. So we extend the invitation. If you need to obey the gospel, that if you need to be baptized to wash your sins away, please let it be known so that you can get that taken care of, so that you have a reason to rejoice. If we can help anyone else out, if we can pray for you, once again, please let that be known as we sing.
I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm happy today, in Jesus Christ I'm happy today, because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. I'm singing today, oh yes, I'm singing today, in Jesus Christ I'm singing. Because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm singing today. I'm praying today, oh yes, I'm praying today, in Jesus Christ I'm praying today, because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm praying today. I'm living today, oh yes, I'm living today, in Jesus Christ I'm living today. today because he's taken all my sins away. And that's why I'm living today. I'm happy today. Oh, yes, I'm singing today. In Jesus Christ, I'm praying today because he's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm living today.